At this point, I've been self-employed for about 15 years, and those feelings never go away. Like, there are days you're just like, man, we got it. We're good to go. And days you're like, well, I mean, we had a good run. It was fun.
Hi, and welcome back to The Unconventionalists. I'm your host, Mark DeRoos, and this is the show about what it's really like to turn your message into a movement. Now, the setting is a little bit different than usual, and it's been a long time in the making. As you can recognize, I'm not in the studio right now, at home, and you might hear my kids screaming in the background, and the audio and visual might be a little bit different than what you're used to. And this is the new world we live in. There's been a global pandemic since we last recorded Unconventionalists, and instead of waiting forever until, you know, the world finds its new rhythm and finding a new studio, since I've moved home since season 14 and we're in the middle of preparing season 15, I want to record an in-between series, an in-between season series, with special guests on specific topics and people who can help you while we are working from home or working remotely to still get your message out there and have an impact on the world. So I'm really excited about today's guest, and the first guest of this series is Grant Baldwin. He is the founder of The Speaker Lab and hosts an amazing podcast called The Speaker Lab, and talks about all things public speaking, and is also the author of the book is over there, The Successful Speaker. We'll talk a bit more about the journey and the process of how it was from going a public speaker to suddenly building a business, helping other people building their public speaking brand. So without any further ado, I'm going to introduce to you Grant Baldwin. But before I do that, a big thank you to all of you who've been sending messages of support and asking what's happening with the podcast. And I'm quite active these days on my newsletter. So if you haven't joined, make sure to go and sign up at theunconventionalist.com/newsletter. It's where I release all the latest updates, some thought pieces, articles, all that kind of stuff. And it's been really cool actually to engage with the community while we're going through these weird times. But let me know how you're doing. Let me know how are things for you. Has it been crazy? Crazy good? Crazy bad? Let me know. Either way, you can connect with me over on social media. I'm on Instagram at Mark DeRoos, on LinkedIn, and of course on YouTube. So whether you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast, or you're watching this on YouTube. And by the way, if you're watching this on YouTube, just a heads up, figuring out some settings. The video settings and quality is pretty atrocious compared to what we're used to. But you know what? It doesn't matter, because the point is to get your message out there into the world. And sometimes you just got to go make do with the quality that we do. And we live and we learn. But really grateful for Grant's perspective and insights. Enjoy this interview. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Grant Baldwin. Grant, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate you letting me be here, man.
Yeah, no worries. Good to have you. Look, I'm really, really keen to get to talk to you. I get so many questions about public speaking, about, you know, the business of speaking, the art of speaking, how do you find books, book deals, all that kind of stuff. And look, there's a few things I've got to say before we begin. One of them is I'm actually one of the members of the program that you run, part of your company, The Speaker Lab. So I can talk about that a little bit more later. And I've also got your book, the brand new book that you came out, that people can go. I'll put all the links in the show notes. But first of all, how are you doing, man? Like, how's it been in this whole kind of crazy world of COVID-19 and global pandemic while running a business and a family?
Yeah. So actually, business has been remarkably pretty well. So I've been very pleasantly surprised. I think at the beginning of all of this, if we look back and, you know, like I remember like January, February, and there's a couple of entrepreneur buddies I talk with on a regular basis, and we're kind of looking at each other like, you see all that stuff going on in China? That's not going to get here. Oh, it's in Europe now, huh? We're good. We're safe. We're Americans. We're immune. And so then as it slowly makes its way over, you're just like, oh, dang, this is a big deal. And especially for, you know, what the nature of our company and working with speakers and those in the speaking industry, where like large groups of people can no longer be, like any groups of people can no longer really be around each other. Yeah. And so it affects a lot of industries, but it certainly has had a significant impact on the speaking industry. So I was understandably pretty nervous and concerned those first few weeks of going like, crap, what's going to happen? How's this going to play out? I've been very pleasantly surprised. There's still been a lot of opportunities with virtual speaking. Yeah. And a lot of smaller natured events that are still happening. Events are starting to open up a little bit more now that we're in toward the end part of this year, looking ahead to 2021. So long term, the thing that I have a lot of confidence in, the speaking industry is one that's been around for a long time. It will continue to be around for a long time. You yourself have booked some gigs, I know, because I know we highlight you as a case study. So I keep
getting messages on Voxer from random people saying like, cool. Hey, I'm thinking about joining the program. What do you think? And I'll be like, look, I'll be honest. You get out what you put in. It's an awesome program. And I always kind of, very happy to promote you guys and answer the
questions. We appreciate that, man. Yeah. Like there are still, the bottom line is like speakers are still finding and booking gigs. Is everything different now? Yes, absolutely. Right. And that's the case for any industry. So if you just say, hey, I want it to always be the way it is forever and ever, like it doesn't work like that. And so being able to pivot and adapt. And I think we've done a good job with that. I think a lot of speakers that we work with and have coached have done pivots are still finding and booking gigs and making an impact with our message.
Yeah, I love that. So one of the things that everyone loves to hear when they come on the show, it's kind of a bit of a background story. I don't want to go too much into it because I know you cover it in quite a few interviews that you've done over the years. But one thing I thought that was quite interesting, so you know, your background in kind of public speaking, am I right in saying that you came through, like it was when you were at church and you kind of were inspired by a preacher? And what was it like for you the first time you saw someone speak and the impact those words had on you?
Yeah, the earliest speaker that I remember that really had a significant like long-term impact was my youth pastor. So when I was in junior high and high school, the church that we were at, my youth pastor really had a big impact in my life. And I was just a great human being off the stage, but was a really good speaker. And that was something that really resonated with me and clicked with me. I always enjoyed speaking, the idea of speaking. You know, when we attended like a public speaking class in high school or something, and the chance to give a speech, I looked forward to. I felt like I was okay at it. And I felt like there was something there that I could be better at it. And so speaking was one of those things that I really, really enjoyed. So seeing him do it in that type of context was like, okay, so that's one route that I could take to do that. And that's kind of the route that I was on. So I went to Bible college, was a youth pastor at a church for a little while. And it gave me a lot of opportunities to speak. And the way you become better as a speaker is you speak. And so I started to get better and started to have some more at-bats and reps. And I just felt like, yeah, there's something there. And I wanted to do more with that.
So those, like for us Europeans who might not be familiar with the concept of youth pastor, is that basically you kind of talk to a younger population within your church? And does that mean that every Sunday, I'm guessing it's Sundays, but I don't know if it's another day, but my assumption is Sunday. Does that mean that every Sunday you've got to change your talk? Like you come up with a topic,
correct,
like a passage of the Bible and how to make it relevant in
today's
world? Like how does that work?
Yeah. So a lot of times like the youth group, which is basically be like, you know, junior high or middle school or high school students would all be meeting together, usually like Wednesday night, kind of in the middle of the week. And then there might be like some Sunday stuff, but usually Wednesday night was kind of the main thing. And yeah, for speakers today, the majority of speakers are doing, you know, the same one or two talks and they're always speaking to a different audience. So they always can basically use the same material and make that material better and better and better. But the challenge with being like speaking in a church setting or speaking in any type of setting where you're speaking to the same audience every single week is, hey, if you tell a story this week that's really, really, really good and it's awesome, man, that everyone loved it and that just killed, you can't do it next week, right? It's not going to work week after week after week.
Yeah, unless you go to like different church, every group, every Wednesday. That's the only
right way around it. Yeah, exactly. So it forces you, which in some ways is good because it just forces you to come up with new material. Because if you're speaking to a different group every single week and you have a really well dialed in talk, then it's easy to kind of fall into a rut or routine because I know that this material works. I know that this story works. I know that this is funny. I know that this is engaging. I know that this is compelling. So I don't have to come up with new material. But when you're speaking to the same audience on a regular basis, it forces you to continue to come up with new material. So there's certainly pros and cons to it.
That's awesome. So and then the story goes, if I got this correct, you know, as you were going through this and as you were going on your passage of speaking, then people asking you about speaking, people like, hey, how do you actually start speaking? But at one point did you go from a youth pastor to suddenly speaking at colleges and getting paid to speak outside of the church kind of system? When did that pivot happen?
Yeah. So I'd been a youth pastor for a couple of years and there were parts of the job that I liked, parts of it I didn't like. But one thing I really enjoyed was speaking, and I wanted to pursue a career as a speaker, wanted to do more speaking. And so I started kind of browsing online and trying to figure out, like, is being a professional speaker, like, is this a thing? And who does this, and how does this work? And
what year was this, by the way? Found a couple guys. Context-wise, like how?
Yeah, this would have been 2005, 2006, okay. Somewhere yeah. in there. So
yeah. Early Facebook days. Years or so.
Yeah, way back when. And so I found a couple guys who are doing this, and I would email them and just kind of stalk them and ask them, you know, just pepper them with questions. Because at the time, there wasn't a lot of great resources out there.
Right.
There's no podcast, there's no book, there's really no material on, like, how do you become a speaker? Like, how does this world work? And so, like, learned a couple things and started booking some gigs, and speaking is very much a momentum business, and it takes a minute to kind of get going. But once you get going, it's a little bit easier to sustain and maintain that. And so over time, I was doing a lot of gigs. I got to a point where I was doing about 60 or 70 speaking gigs a year, and loved it. I was having a great time.
And you were booking yourself these gigs, right? Like, you didn't have a speaking agent. You were just kind of going out there, finding Correct. Gigs.
Yep. And I think that's, again, a thing that is helpful for people people that we work with today to understand it is, I'm a white male from the Midwest in the U.S. Like, I've had a normal, you know, average life. I haven't worked with any bureaus or agents or anyone that, like, or won a gold medal or conquered cancer or anything that people would be like, oh, well, of course that guy's a speaker, you know? I was really, really clear on, this is who I speak to, this is what I speak about, and this is how I can help. And really, like, felt like we dialed in the systems of how do you actually reach out to, follow up with, and book gigs.
Yeah.
And so got to a point where several people were just asking me, like, you alluded to, like, hey, I want to be a speaker. How would I go about doing that? So we started teaching that here and there, and that continued to take off. And so that's the core of what we do today is teach people, like, the ins and outs of the business side and how to find and book gigs.
Because that's, I'm guessing that must have been quite a big significance switch. And I carry both hats as well. Like, you know, I coach and I also do facilitation, also do speaking. But going from building a speaking business where you're actually speaking as the main business to suddenly building a business where you're teaching other people, and that going through that transition, how was it to going from managing your own time to suddenly being part of a team, managing employees, and suddenly having a vision, people expecting you to answer problems and email inquiries, all this kind of stuff? Like, how was that switch for you?
Yeah, it was a gradual switch. So it's not like on a Friday that you're just like, okay, I'm gonna slow down being a speaker, and I'm gonna go in all in on the speaking coaching thing, and then on Monday, like, okay, now I'm doing that. It's all worked. Like, it doesn't work like that, you know. And so there's kind of a gradual where I'm the coaching side is really increasing and taking off, and so I'm decreasing the number of gigs that I'm doing, or I'm being more selective on which gigs I'm doing, and it's a gradual process to. It's not an overnight thing at all. One of the things I really enjoy about what I do today is I feel like the Speaker Lab is the type of company, and the resources that we've been able to create, the book, the podcast, the training programs, are the resources I wish I had when I got started. When I was looking around, I was like, man, I would love a podcast with 300 plus episodes, like with what we have now, that I could just consume, or a book like The Successful Speaker, the book we just released that you alluded to, or, you know, the training programs, or any number of things. Just like, because one of the things I felt like I had the potential, but I needed the plan. I had the potential, but I needed the plan. I felt like I was a decent speaker. I wasn't the world's greatest speaker. I wasn't the world's worst speaker, but there was something there. And I just wanted to know, like, someone just tell me what to do. Like, I'll execute, I'll do the work, but just someone show me what to do. And so I feel like there's so many speakers that we work with today who are in that same spot. And Mark, that may be why you came to us in the first place, is going like, I like speaking. I want to do more speaking. Just tell me what to do. I'll do it. I'll execute. And obviously you have, and the results are there, but just someone show me the path of what steps I need to take. And so that, hopefully that's where we've been able to fill a gap in the market.
Yeah. And it's interesting because for me, when I joined, like, what sold me is, cause I was already doing speaking. I already had a website, already had a showreel. But it was kind of like, how do you take it to the next level? Like, how do you actually really position yourself? How do you, because I was struggling with that idea of, you know, and you talk a lot about it, your metaphor around, do you want to go for a burger or a steakhouse or a buffet, right? Like this,
right.
Like, why do you think, just off kind of off topic here, but Why do you think so many people struggle? And this, I see this everywhere, right? Not just in speaking, but in anything. Why do people struggle so much with the concept and idea of niching?
Yeah, because, and you're exactly right that we see this so often with speakers. And so one of the things that we tell speakers all the time is that you have to be really, really clear about who you speak to, the who side, the audience side. And it can't be my message is for everybody. My message is for humans, right? Mm-hmm. I speak to females. Well, that's half of the world's population, right? So you absolutely want to narrow that down. And then the other side is like, what's the problem that you solve for that audience? What do you speak about? And so when speakers say, well, what do you want me to speak about? I can speak about anything. I can speak about, you know, leadership or marketing or podcasting or faith.
You name
or family
it, I'll
or,
build it.
Like that just doesn't work, right? And we understand this in other contexts, you know. So let's imagine, for example, Mark, that you or I needed to have God forbid, we need to have brain surgery, all right?
Yeah, I use the knee surgery.
We have a choice.
Yeah,
like we have a choice. Like we could go to our local family medical doctor. They are a medical professional. They went to medical school. They are a doctor. They've probably done surgery before. They know more about the brain than you or I do, but they've never done brain surgery. Like I don't want that person cutting me open and trying to figure out my brain versus like someone who is a brain surgeon and that's all they do. If you have a cough, you don't go to them. If you have the Rona, you don't go to them. If you've got a broken leg, you don't go to them. But if you have a brain issue, you probably go to that doctor and that surgeon because they are really, really good at one specific thing versus trying to be all things for all people.
Yeah.
And so that, again, it's counterintuitive because we think the more things we can speak about, the more problems we can solve, the more audience members we can appeal to, the more opportunities we will have. But nobody's looking for this generalist. They're looking for the specialist who's really, really good at that one specific thing. So it's difficult, but that's what every speaker and every entrepreneur needs to strive for.
And what do you think is the secret formula for people to go from that resistance to acceptance and picking?
I think a lot of times it comes down to just making a decision. Like we tell speakers all the time, like you're not getting a tattoo. You're not making a permanent decision. And so if you decide like, okay, I'm going to pursue this niche here. And then, 6 months or a year, like I'm finding it maybe a different route that's working a little bit better. I'm having a little bit more momentum over here and you want to pivot that direction. Like that's fine. Okay. But we say all the time, like it's much easier to steer a car in motion than it is to steer a car in park. Mm-hmm. So when you have a car in park, like you can't turn the wheel, but if you get it going 1 mile per hour, like you can turn that, right? It still requires a little bit of effort. And so the same thing is true for speakers or any entrepreneur is it's really easy to just sit on the sideline or sit on the shore and just analyze and analyze and analyze and analyze to the point that you do nothing versus saying, okay, I've analyzed, I'm going to make a best decision. I'm only 90% confident, but I'm going to get going instead of waiting until I'm 100% confident. And I think that the stars are all magically aligned. Like that's not coming. So just get going. And then if you need to pivot or adjust along the way, you can, but don't just like overanalyze and overanalyze to the point that you do nothing.
Get that. What's the number one question you get the most?
For a lot of speakers, they're just like, how do I book gigs? You know, what do I need to do? And a lot of times what we do is we start with what we've just kind of covered and talked about is before you can fast forward to booking gigs, you know, you got to be really, really clear on being that specialist. Who do you speak to? What's the problem that you solve? Cause so many speakers are just like, yeah, but how do I book gigs? Like, you got to do that part. You got to get that part
because
right
it's
first.
The unsexy part, right? What I find is most people, I don't understand that if you don't get the foundations right, if you don't get the bottom of the iceberg, forget about the tipping point where everybody looks at you and you're the shiny object and you're on Instagram and YouTube and all this stuff. It's like if you're not clear on what you're communicating, by the time you get to a decision maker, you fall flat because they'll be like, I don't know where to position you. Like, I don't understand what problem you're fixing.
Yep. You want to make it easy for people to make a decision. Again, it's we understand it conceptually with any other part of our life, but for some reason we think, well, that doesn't apply to me, right?
Yeah.
As a speaker, I can speak to anybody and everybody about anything and everything. Like, no, you can't, nor should you even try. So again, the more narrow, the more focused, the more clear you are, the easier it is to actually find opportunities.
Was there a moment on this journey when you were kind of starting to build the business, starting to grow, getting momentum, where things could have been derailed, where you could have let self-doubt creep in and you could have listened to that voice of doubt? Like, was there, can you remember like a specific moment or a time in that business journey where you maybe had some doubts? Maybe you thought, hey, who am I to build this business? Or how big can we really get this?
Yeah. So I'll give you a quick example on a story. So I remember a couple of years ago, I live in the Nashville area in Tennessee.
Oh, the Nashville Mafia.
Yes. Yes. We got a bunch of us here. It's a good place to be. And so I was attending this entrepreneurial breakfast a couple of years ago. And there's a friend of mine that was there and he had been working on this side hustle. It wasn't speaking related, but just been working on the side hustle for a little while and been working a full-time corporate job. And he had just quit the job to go all in on the side hustle. And so I remember talking to him at this breakfast. This is the first week where he was all in on his own thing. I said, man, you're doing it. You're all in on your own thing. How you feeling? And I remember him saying like, man, I'm excited. I'm thrilled. I'm terrified. I'm overwhelmed. I'm, you know, the whole gamut of emotions, right? Yeah. From one end of the spectrum to the other. And I remember telling him, I was like, hey, at this point, I've been self-employed for about 15 years and those feelings never go away. Yeah. Like there are days you're just like, man, we got it. We're good to go. And days you're like, well, I mean, we had a good run. It was fun. I guess I got to go so find a job or something. Right. And it just like,
do you still have that today? Like just, do you still
100%. Absolutely. I think you, one of the most difficult things for any entrepreneur to do, or one of the best skill sets to learn is to like mentally manage the emotional highs and lows of entrepreneurship. Yeah. Because there are absolutely days where you're just like, wow, like we are killing it. This is awesome. There are days where like you make more revenue in one day than you had in the previous several months or in the previous salary, you know? And then you'll have like weeks where you're just like, I don't know what's like, something's not working. I don't know what it is. I don't know what to do to fix it. And it's just like these huge highs and lows. And like, that's part of it. And so I would say this, like any entrepreneur speaker that you look up to, you admire, you respect, I promise you, every single one of them has the same doubts and fears and insecurities and worries 100%. That you do. Now, they may understand how to manage them better. They may, the voices may be a little bit quieter, but those same doubts and insecurities are there. And I every time I'm catching up with an entrepreneur or speaker and they're like, hey, how you doing? I was like, we're figuring it out as we go, like everybody else. Yeah. Like none of us have this master plan of like, oh, I know exactly how the next several years of, no, we're all doing our best. Yeah. We started the conversation by talking about COVID. You know, if we fast forward to or rewind to the beginning of the year, everyone starts 2020 with like, all right, it's going to be an amazing year. And like, it's been a dumpster fire of a year. And like, nobody expected that. Nobody expected like, oh yeah, this is the year that there's going to be a worldwide pandemic that's going to shut down everything. Like nobody expects that. So like, you still deal with those doubts and insecurities and fears and you have to roll with that, you know? Yeah. And that's, again, that's part of what you sign up for by being an entrepreneur.
And did you find that you had to level up? Like, I mean, this is probably also my personal experience. I feel like at every stage you reach a point where you know you've got to break through the next level of whatever that is, right? Like the story you're telling yourself, the limit you have, and you're going to level up a little bit. And then until the next time, like, have you had one of those experiences lately where you kind of knew that you had to become something different in order to get the company or the team and the vision further?
Yeah, I think about a lot the expression and the idea that what got you here won't get you there, meaning that what worked for us, you know, a few months ago or a few years ago, or what the business looked like, it may have worked then, but it may not work now, you know. So and that can apply in a lot of different areas. And so you have to, again, kind of go back to, you know, what we've all learned from COVID is like, it's really easy to just get comfortable and like, all right, business is good. But you know, there are things that are shifting that are outside of your control that you have to be able to roll with. And as the business grows and expands and develops, like one thing I've had to learn to do is we have a decent sized team now. I think we have 18 or 19 people on our team.
Oh, wow.
And so you go from
shout out to Eric Green.
Yeah, we have a great, great team and some like really, really amazing people. I like absolutely just love our team. And so when I was a speaker, it was me and I had a part-time assistant and that was it. And that's fine. Like that was what the business was. Well, now, you know, when you have 19 people in a virtual environment, literally primarily across the U.S., like it takes a different skill set. And I have to get better at that. I have to learn that. And so, and I have to continue to improve at that. And so, as the business changes, as the market shifts, like you have to be able and willing to adapt and adjust to how things are shifting and going.
Cool. I know we're going to be running out of time pretty quickly, so I just want to get a few things in. The Successful Speaker, a book that you pushed back doing for a long time, like your co-writer, I heard an interview, I think you had with Jeff somewhere, where he basically he had to convince you, like you just were pushing it back. You're like, it's not my thing. I don't want to do it. And it took like a while to get the right deal, the right publishing deal. In a nutshell, the experience so far, how's it been to get the book out?
Great. I had a great experience. And yeah, so I think I'm an okay writer, but the idea of like, there's some people that are like, man, I want to write a new book every year for the rest of my life. I love writing. I love writing books. And I'm just like, like I get the value of books. I actually self-published a book several years ago when I was doing a lot of speaking. And it's just, it's a lot of work. And I don't necessarily, you know, there's things where you're like, it's a lot of work, but I love it. And there's things where you're like, it's a lot of work and I'm not going to sign up for it. And a book was kind of that for me. Like I'd written a book before. I knew how much work it was going to require. I recognized the value of a book, but I also knew that there's 1,000 other things that we could do to help move the needle in the business. And so when Jeff is a very good friend of mine, we've known each other for several years. He is a phenomenal author and writer, really understands creating a book, understands the publishing world. And so when, basically long story short, he came to me and said, hey, you have all this content, this, these interviews, this training material, these podcasts, you have all of this info and insight and case studies and examples and on and on and on. Like, what if we work together and I actually, you have all this material. What if I'm the scribe and actually take all of this and turn it into a book? And I was like, the idea of Jeff Goins writing your book, like, heck yeah, I'll sign up for that. and so we figured out what that would look like. And we had a great experience. Like he did a great job of taking, you know, what was in my head and turning it into book form. So he was very much a non-ghostwriter ghostwriter, you know, like a named ghostwriter basically. But in this case, like part of the point was Jeff is he's a well-known author. He's a well-known writer. And so, there are people in his audience and people, you know, knowing that he was associated with the book, they're going to buy the book. So there's a marketing element of it as well. But yeah, very much, you know, fast forward several months now. And the book came out and then about less than a month later is when the world shut down, or at least here in the US, it shut down. And so it was not great timing, you know, but again, that's,
you couldn't have planned that, right? Like
part of it. Yeah.
And I really recommend anyone listening to this, go and check out the Speaker Lab podcast, because if you're interested in public speaking, even, or just adding speaking period to your career, to your business, there's so many resources, so many interviews you've had. I mean, it's pretty, pretty impressive. I think I'm on episode 142, 143.
Cool.
300 plus episodes.
We've got I think 310 episodes now, and at the time recording we've got the next couple months worth of episodes recorded. So yeah, we love doing it. It's a lot of fun, and if it helps a few people along the way, then that's awesome.
Love that. So here's a few kind of fire quick questions, right? Cool. What is one thing that keeps you up at night?
I think sometimes it's the ebbs and flows of the business. And when you think about, especially like what's going on in the world and going, okay, hopefully, hypothetically, we're at the tail end of this, or we've seen the bottom of it and now we're on the way up. You have no idea. Maybe it's a pandemic, maybe it's something else, maybe it's some, you know, God forbid, some horrible terrorism situation or some other like a natural crisis that's outside of your control. It just dramatically affects the business. And so there's a lot of things that that we can control and a lot of things we can't do anything about. And so the unknowns can worry you at times, but at the same time, if you can't control it, you can't worry about it. So you certainly have to balance that.
What's the last message you received from someone saying that your book, your podcast, or your course had a positive impact on their life? And do you remember what that said?
Yeah, like we get, whether it's an Amazon review or an email or a message of some kind, like those are always incredibly, incredibly humbling. And doing the podcast, doing the book, doing the programs, like all that stuff it's a lot of work. But I think one of the most rewarding things for me is when I hear from someone who would say something like, hey, I went through your program or I went through stuff and I booked my first gig. Mm-hmm. Because inside the book, I talk about that very first paid gig. And I think about so much of that as like a domino. Like when you push that first domino, the momentum that creates going forward. And so I know what that very first paid gig did for me. So when someone says, hey, something that you helped create helped me to book my first paid gig. I can't believe I got paid to do this. Like, that is just incredibly, incredibly rewarding to me personally, because I know what that does for them. And more than what it does for them personally, I know what it does for their family, for their future. I know that, like, learning how to find and book gigs, how that's impacted my life personally, but also like how it's impacted my family, like my wife, my daughters, like our collective family has had a great life because of that very first gig and because of the work that, you know, we've done since then, because of that first domino. So when someone tells me like, hey, I booked this first gig, I got paid for this first gig, like that's incredibly rewarding because I know the journey ahead for them and what that creates.
Yeah. And I think it's, I heard Yaya Bacca say this, I think it's like, don't compare your chapter one to somebody else's chapter 20. And right. I think it's like, even me, I think when I was doing this research for this interview, I think I heard you say that you made almost up to $2 million worth of speaking gigs over your career. And that just feels astronomical, right? Like from someone who's, I'm not quite starting, but I'm, you know, in that journey. And I feel like, or maybe this is a question, like what would be a tip to someone listening to this who might be starting the journey or who've already started the journey, like how do you stay focused on your next steps and not look at, for example, you or someone else who's got like a very prolific kind of speaking career and just focus on the next domino?
Yeah, you're exactly right. I think any speaker, entrepreneur that you look up to, you admire, you respect, like everybody starts from zero. I think that's so important to remember that everybody starts from zero. Anybody you look up to, you admire, you respect, you know, the Richard Bransons, the Mark Cubans, the fill in the blank, the Tony Robbins, like they all started from scratch. They all had a time where they had none gigs and then they did a gig, you know, and that gig led to a second gig and so on and so forth. And, you know, there was a time where they'd made $0 in business and then they made their first dollar in business. Like everybody starts from zero. And so you're exactly right, Mark, that to not compare, you know, where someone else is several years down the road to where you are today. So let's take like a Richard Branson. The guy has, you know, hundreds of businesses that he's created. And I've only created a couple and that's not fair. Like, yeah, he's just been at it longer. Like he's been doing this a long time. And so he has way more experience than I do at this point. So it's not fair to think that like, well, why am I not there? Like he's just been doing it longer. Right.
Yeah.
So like, first of all, just like cut yourself some slack and give yourself a little bit of credit here that like you're doing a good job. And I also don't feel like, that it's going to happen overnight. You know, we've been working at this for a long time. There's still people that are like, oh, I just came across you. It's like, gosh, dang, we've been doing this for a while, you know, and like you just heard about it, you know, and like,
how long have you been doing the Speaker Lab for? Like as an actual business, not just Grant Baldwin as a speaker?
5 years, 6 years, full-time on the Speaker Lab.
That's yeah. 5 years to build an 18 team. And I mean, it's pretty
epic. It just takes time, you know? And yeah. So I think it's important for any entrepreneur, just enjoy the journey, enjoy what you're doing, enjoy what you're building, enjoy where you're at. And don't feel like you have to fast forward the process.
Okay, cool. Two final questions. Number one is, if you could put a message in a bottle, right? Like, and you could throw this bottle back in time and, it might be to your former self, right? Like to your younger self when you're starting on this journey, or it might be to you got kids, I believe, right?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Three cool. daughters.
Three daughters, outnumbered. And so, yes. So you could send this message so that they could read it when they're older and it would hold three truths that you hold truer than true that you've learned about life, about business. What are those three pieces of wisdom you'd like to share with them?
Yeah. The things that come to mind would be, I tell my daughters all the time. If I'm speaking specifically to them, I tell them all the time, one, like how much I love them and how proud of them I am. Like, I think, I love being an entrepreneur. I love being a speaker. I love the speakers that we get to work with, but my most important roles on this planet are to be a good husband and to be a good father. Mm. And so if I'm a great speaker, if I'm a great entrepreneur, but if I drop the ball in those two roles for me at home with my wife and with my daughters, like I've really dropped the ball significantly. And so, I really want to make sure I do a good job there. So one is to just, I constantly remind them how much I love them, how proud of them I am. The second thing I remind them of is, I tell my daughters all the time that, work equals money. And so if you want something in life, you have to work for it. And like, hey, do you guys enjoy this, the cool life that we have? It's because dad and mom work really hard. And so it's not because we were given some, you know, golden ticket or silver bullet or anything. Like we've created a good life because we've worked for it and we've earned it. And the other thing I would say is to really enjoy the journey. You know, it's easy at any stage of life to kind of look forward to the next stage of life, you know, and you know, whether you're a parent and you're like, oh, my kids are little, I can't wait till they're older. And then when they're older, you're like, oh, I miss when they were little, you know? And even literally this morning I was looking at, one of the things I do every day is kind of look at Facebook memories that pop up, and was looking at memories from, you know, years ago when the kids were littler. You're like, oh, that was cool. It was a cool stage, but now like we'll never get that stage back. So let's enjoy the stage that we're in currently. And so, just enjoying the journey, enjoying the process, even when like crap happens and when bad things happen, like that makes the journey that much better. Like if you watch you go watch like a really good movie and like, you know, it's some, you know, romantic comedy or something, and it's this love story and it's just perfect and nothing ever happens to them. And like their lives are great. Like that's a really boring movie, you know? Yeah. Like you need some crap to happen. You need some stuff to fall apart. You need to wonder like, are they going to make it? Is this going to be okay? Is the business going to survive? Like you need some of those moments, to remind yourself that that's part of it. It makes the mountaintop experiences that much better. So, that'd be a couple things I'd probably say.
Complete on just a side note, maybe like a complete selfish question. It's the idea of how do you manage that balance between being a dad and an entrepreneur / business leader? Because that's something that I know I drop the ball. Like I feel guilty when I'm with my kids, cause I think of all the stuff I need to do. But when I'm here, I'm thinking about my kids that I should be playing with them. Like, how have you found kind of little, I don't know, any tips you can share with me and any other fellow business dads?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I think a lot about this because it is absolutely, it's a huge balance because you do feel that tension of when you're working, you want to be with your family. When you're with your family, you think you should be working, and you're trying to find what that right balance is. And so one thing I would say is that recognize that there are seasons, that there are going to be seasons where, you know, if I'm launching the book, I'm just going to be busier than normal. But there's other seasons where it's a little bit slower than normal. And so you've got maybe a bit more time and bandwidth with the family. Also recognize that, like I try to have some hard boundaries on, I'm not perfect at it, but I've gotten better at, you know, trying to stay off my phone nights and weekends and be more fully present with my family. I also, my own, again, this is just my own setup, but I work from home. I know a lot of people who are self-employed who are like, I want to go to an office. I need that separation. I like working here because I know, as soon as we're done here, like my daughters, my wife are right outside that door. I can go say hey to them, go hug them, just check in. So I like, my wife homeschools our daughters. So we are together a lot. I get to see them a lot. Even if it's just, you know, 30 seconds here, 60 seconds there, just a quick hug. Hey, how's your day going? I love you. You know, that sort of thing. Those little moments, matter. And there's also recognize like there's times you're not going to get it right. You know, there's times where you're just like, I'm working way too much. And being self-aware of that is really, really important. But, I really think like if you, if you're a great entrepreneur, but you drop the ball as a husband, as a wife, as a mom, as a dad, as if you're just the shell of a human being, but like, oh, look at all the money I've made or look at all I've accomplished in business. Like you're doing it wrong, you know? Yeah. So it's like, it is a hard balance. Cause you love both, I love what I do. I love, this conversation. This has been a lot of fun. But I also love being a dad and I love being a husband. And so I know, anything that I'm doing here is taking away from out there. And so recognize like there's going to be those trade-offs and it's never going to be perfectly in balance.
So let's make sure we get you back out there as quickly as possible. What does being unconventional mean to you?
So one thing I think a lot about, especially for our business at the Speaker Lab is, we don't have to do things the way that everybody else does them. Meaning that, I'll give you a couple of examples. Like everyone has, or not everyone, but a lot of people have a in-person office space, like I mentioned. And I really enjoy, I want to work from home. I want to be with my family. We force our team members to take vacation time. And we just tell them you can't check your phone. Like you're not allowed to check in. And not like this, hey, go on vacation, but kind of be on standby in case we need you. Like, no, sorry, you're not allowed to talk to us while you're on vacation. And like, just like, we really want to take care of people and make sure that we're providing a great atmosphere and a great culture for our team. And same with our students, you know, like we, and again, you're a recipient of this. Like, we provide a lot of coaching and a lot of support, and that comes with a lot of overhead for just running a business. Is there's a lot of coaches that are available to help serve and support our students, but we don't want to just say like, you know, hey, here's a book. It's a good book, but you're on your own. Good luck. Like, no, we want to be in the weeds and the trenches with you to help you implement and apply and see results in your business. So, yeah, there's certainly some of those unconventional things that, that are part of it, part of being an entrepreneur.
Yeah. Love it. Look, where do you hang out most? Where can people find out more about you if they're going to get involved with the Speaker Lab? What's the best place to kick off the journey?
Yeah, everything we do is over at thespeakerlab.com, thespeakerlab.com. Like we've touched on, we have a podcast by the same name, The Speaker Lab Podcast. So definitely go check that out. But yeah, and I'm available anytime you want to ping me. My email is grant@thespeakerlab.com. So hit me up if there's anything I can do to serve or support anyone. And yeah,
if anyone expect a few emails. How do I book my first gigs, Grant?
step one is to make sure you get the book. Yeah. happy to help however I can. Yeah. And I know what it's like to be at the early stages of building and growing a speaking business. So happy to help others who are on the journey.
Hey, I appreciate you. And I just want to acknowledge you just wholeheartedly, genuinely. I think the thing that you've built at Speaker Lab is amazing. I often use it as an example of a company who's managed to really bridge the world of online with also coaching and support, like the level of stack value that you add on the program. Like for me, it was a no-brainer. I remember when I forgot who I was speaking on the sales call. And they kind of showed me like, hey, here's what you're going to get. Like a do-it-for-you website. And I'm saying, I don't know if you're still doing this in the lead program, but like do it for your website, do it for your speaker reel. Like, we'll get you these leads. We're going to get you this program. You're going to get this one-to-one support. And I was just going, it's a no-brainer. And like when you managed to create a no-brainer offer, and I salute you for that because it's not easy and it requires sacrifice and heart. And thank you for helping people, you know, on a similar mission as mine and to go out there and have an impact with a message. And I appreciate you for it.
It's an honor. Thanks, Mark. I appreciate the kind words.
Great to have you on the show. I
appreciate you letting me be here.
There you have it, folks. I hope you enjoyed that. That was the first episode of the In Between Seasons series, video interviews where I'll be jumping in with some experts on a specific topic and a specific challenge and problem. If you'd like me to interview anyone in particular, let me know, drop me a message or write a comment below in the YouTube video or drop me a message on social media. And if there are any particular topics or challenge that you'd like me to cover in the coming series, let me know. That might be a big question on your mind or your head that you want me to tackle. Then I can't wait to answer it. So until next time, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for your patience. And I hope you enjoy this In Between Seasons series. I'm really excited to jump back in. It's a little bit weird to be back at home, but it reminds me of the good old days when I first started the Unconventionalist podcast back in 2015. And of course, today's guest can find all the information over at thespeakerlab.com and also go and check out his podcast, The Speaker Lab. Appreciate you. Your message matters. And I'll see you next time.